Boise State University's Neil Carter and a team of researchers analyzed the behaviors of 62 animal species on 6 continents and found that human activity is driving more and more animals into nocturnal behavior. Simply put, animals are going out at night so they don't have to put up with humans during the day. And this has downstream consequences for the welfare of these species. Dr. Carter is an assistant professor in Boise State's College of Innovation and Design, and he joins us in the studio to discuss this research. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for being here. Thanks
Dr. Carter, you looked at more than, 75 studies, 62 species, mm-hmm. 6 continents. Which animals did you look at and where?
We looked at everything over 1 kilogram in size, so that's quite small. That could be something as small as a possum, to everything as large as an elephant, all mammals. And we found consistently across all of those sizes, across all of those continents, and virtually in all of those studies, we were finding that animals in high areas of human disturbance were becoming more nocturnal. They were shifting their patterns of activity to become nocturnal, possums to elephants.
Hmm. Dr. Carter, let's describe what human disturbance is. Is it simply paving something? Is it, putting up lights and fracking? What is human disturbance?
It's all of the above. So we looked at studies that include agriculture, it included urban development, it included rural development. It includes even areas that are being hunted. So it might still be natural and intact, but there's that presence of people. So it really covers both lethal type of interactions where animals might be killed, either because they're legally hunted or they might be animals that cause a lot of damage, so there's some form of control, but also just indirect human disturbance in the sense of human development where there isn't any direct mortality for those animals. But nonetheless, across all of those different levels of disturbance, we were finding this consistent effect.
So like an ecosystem displacement just based on land development.
Right. Right. And so, the interesting analog here is that most of the work is looking at space. We tend to look at space use. So we do think about habitat loss, habitat fragmentation. We think about development. But there's this whole other dimension of disturbance that I think seeps into our animals' daily activity pattern. You know, that this other dimension that's not just space, but also when they go to sleep, when do they eat, when do they look for mates? You know, all these really important decisions they make in their life.
So if my spirit animal is a small ground squirrel or something and I'm going about my daily life, it matters what I hear, where I can forage, and all these things
right.
add up.
First of all, whose spirit animal isn't a small squirrel? I mean, everybody's spirit
okay.
animal is probably the squirrel,
yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. But yeah, exactly. These are critical decisions that they're making all the time. They're looking for food. You think about the winter when food is really hard to find and they're on that edge of getting enough calories to survive. If they don't get enough calories because they're having to avoid disturbance, that animal might die. If that animal dies, then it may not find a mate. And, you know, this trickle through that population to other populations could actually be quite severe, and we just don't know what those impacts might be.
Let's dive into the data.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we're speaking with Dr. Neil Carter about animals being more nocturnal than before. Let's dive into the data and follow a specific species
mm-hmm.
and how their lives may have changed.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, I'll dig a little bit into a species that I'm most familiar with. I looked at it during my PhD work. I was looking at tigers in Nepal, and tigers are globally endangered animals. There's only a few thousand of them. So they tend to occur in protected areas, heavily protected areas in Asia. So we were interested in understanding how these tigers were using habitat, both in space and in time, differently with respect to local communities that were going into the forest to collect forest products like grasses and, you know, downed wood and that kind of thing. And what we found was that in areas where there was higher human activity and presence, that tigers had completely become active at night, as we're, you know, talking
completely.
About. Completely active. I mean, we know that they tend to be active at night, but they just completely went active at night to avoid people. What we don't know, and this goes for many of these studies, we don't know what these consequences might be of now are tigers feeding on different kinds of animals than they would prefer? Maybe they're selecting animals. They'd rather have a sambar deer, a very large deer, but those animals are active at a different period. So they're having to put up or settle with a smaller animal. That's costly for them. They are a visual animal. You know, they're binocular vision. They look for prey. they do really well at dawn and dusk, but if they're hunting primarily at night, they might have a lower hunting success. But truthfully, we just don't have a lot of data points to in aggregate say these are the kinds of consequences on their foraging and on their hunting on these different continents for these different species.
You mentioned the tiger being partially active at night. I guess that means diurnal, active day and night. And there are animals that right now or for generations have been nocturnal or diurnal. Raccoons, feral cats, possum, coyotes, commonly interacting with humans as scavengers. Are their lives changing, those that are already on the nocturnal side of things?
Yeah, those animals are changing. But, you know, what's interesting is that we tend to think of those animals as being nocturnal, but those animals also do really well in human-modified areas. So they may have already adapted their behavior to live near human communities, and that adaptation may include being more active at night. So that shift has probably already occurred with these critters that we associate with human areas. But even those animals, we're seeing them shift. Coyotes do lots of interesting things in national parks where you might have really high recreational use during periods of the day. Still a wonderfully intact, beautiful natural area, but at night, during the day, they'll completely avoid those areas.
You're in tune with Idaho Matters, and we're speaking with Dr. Neil Carter, Boise State's College of Innovation and Design. And we'd like to hear from you. What behaviors have you seen outside your back door? You can always reach us, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Dr. Carter, are these behavioral traits, it's been a while since I read Darwin's Origins of Species, but are these behavioral traits passed from brood to brood, or are they just things animals figure out every time?
It might be a little bit of both. I think they're probably figuring it out as they go along. But there is evidence to suggest that these might have evolutionary consequences. So, for example, if you are an animal that is able to adapt, let's say like a coyote or a raccoon, and become more active at night and be successful, individuals of your population that can't make that change, they just can't do it, they're not going to be able, they won't breed and they won't pass on their genes. So the animals that could adapt can pass on those genes. But this also goes for animals in an area that might experience hunting. You know, animals that are able to avoid that pressure and not die, they're able to pass on their genes. So certainly I think that there is reason to believe there can be some natural selection pressure that starts to come into play here. We also have some examples of females and males within the same species doing different things. And you can imagine that a female with her cubs or offspring or litter, that those young are learning those behaviors from mom. And so if you're saying, I'm going to use this area at night or during the day, they're definitely picking up those behaviors. I would be shocked if they didn't.
Earlier on the show, we were talking about growth in the Treasure Valley. Of course, it's happening in Magic Valley and other parts of the state. You spoke about tigers in Nepal. But right here in Idaho, have your team seen evidence of behavioral change in animals? And if so, which ones?
Right. There are studies in the Northwest region, not specifically in Idaho, but on the animals that we definitely have here. Cougars, wolves, elk, mule deer. You know, all these animals that are iconic that we have here, we're finding evidence in other places like Wyoming and Yellowstone and Southwest Canada that these species are shifting to become more nocturnal. And absolutely, with respect to development, that's really important because it's not just time, but it's also space. They're avoiding disturbance in all forms. And so if development is a form of disturbance, if night lighting is a form of disturbance with those new developments, these animals are being squeezed into a small period of time. And a good example is nightlight. What happens when, as these new developments start to expand and grow, and there's all this artificial lighting associated with it, animals are having to now navigate this additional novel stimuli, a novel disturbance. And we just don't know what those impacts might be as well. But certainly here in Idaho, I think that interface between wildlands and wild animals is as large and as interesting as you'll have in the United States, in the contiguous United States.
Among our audience of Idaho Matters folks, people like to solve problems. They want to know what they can do. So what can individuals, if they want to affect this change, do? Buying responsibly sourced produce, living where we work? What do you suggest?
Right. This is tough. And I have a couple thoughts here, and I would certainly love to hear more. One is thinking about this night lighting in particular. I think a lot of us just don't think about it. You know, we leave lights on, or we don't shield the lights, or we have floodlights, those kinds of things. All of those might be having some kind of impact on animals, and they're shifting their patterns. And
it could be as simple as your porch light.
It could be as simple as your porch light, or putting on a shield, a very inexpensive, easy to get shield over a light to kind of focus the light down if you need to have that light on at night. But also, going back to the previous segment about development and expansion here, I think that being engaged as a local citizen in these development plans and incorporating this idea into the management is really important, because we value a lot of things, and wildlife may or may not be high on that, but I think Idahoans do value wildlife a tremendous amount. So part of that planning process to say, hey, if we go through here, that's important, elk, cougar, bear habitat that might have these really important disturbances, let's consider that in these management. I think that would be important.
Across our state, there are short distances between the urban and the pastoral, and I think a lot of residents actually enjoy their safe encounters with wildlife.
Right, right. So being engaged in these discussions about growth and management and having that be a part of the conversation, I think would be hugely important in a way that we as individuals and citizens living here could actually make a difference.
Dr. Carter, how would people learn more about the work of your group of the College of Innovation and Design?
Definitely check out our website, Human Environment Systems at the College of Innovation and Design at cid.boisestate.edu/HES. Also look at the article in Science that came out last week that talks about this. And I'd also like to make sure and give a shout out to the lead author, Caitlin Gaynor, and her team at University of California, Berkeley, who did a lot of this work.
Dr. Neil Carter, an assistant professor with Boise State's College of Innovation and Design, talking about increasing activities, nocturnal behavior among animals. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.